spoiled, but you did miss about 15 minutes of the fire alarm going off. So.
I heard it.
All right. We are going to now start with our final media availability of, or I should say, post-race interview. Here this evening at Bowman Gray, we've now been joined by our race winner, Chase Elliott. Chase, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on the win. We're going to go straight to questions, and to kick us off, we'll start with Jacob in the back.
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital. Chase, you mentioned it in your TV interview, but what was the ambiance like out there for post-race? It sounded like the crowd was every bit as rowdy for the victory as they were at a lot of other points during the night, and it looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it was super fun. I'm sure they would have been excited regardless, but, you know, I'm a little biased in the situation just for myself. It was, you know, an extremely special moment, and I think the people in the crowd here made it that. So I'm thankful for that. It was a moment I'll never forget for sure. It's not every day you not only race in an environment like that, but to have the opportunity to win and kind of share that moment with the crowd was really cool. So I hope we put on a good show. I hope they enjoyed it. You know, it seemed like they were into it, you know, throughout the night. And, it seemed like a success. You know, I know it's always tough from a winner's perspective, you know, when everything goes your way. But it seemed like the track was racy. You know, I just thought the whole deal was much improved from the last couple of years for sure.
Would you be a proponent of bringing the Clash back here next year then?
I don't have any issues with coming back. I mean, like I said, I thought overall it was, it seemed like a good show. The tire wear came into play. The environment from not only tonight, but last night, the place was packed out. You know, it just seemed like a good all-around event. And, I just feel like if we're going to race on a football field, this is probably as good of a place as any to do it, you know.
Bob, go ahead.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. So what made it different than the Coliseum that I think, obviously you liked it better?
Yeah, I think just the size of the track, you know, it seemed bigger to me. You know, I don't know what the technical distance would be, how different it is or not, but the straightaway seemed a little longer. The corners weren't such a sharp, you know, it didn't seem like it was such a sharp apex. And I think all of those things, you know, that combined with the track surface having some age, you know, to it, I think all three of those things probably had a pretty large impact on the race being better and kind of putting it a little more in your hands as far as tire management and all that stuff. So those would be the three big ones for me.
And how do you lead 171 laps and maybe only get shoved out of the lead once here?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was really honestly felt like there at the end of the first 100 that Denny and Tyler had gotten better than us, and we needed to be a good bit improved to track those guys back down, and was kind of afraid that, you know, if we lost control, it was going to be hard to get it back. But, you know, Alan made some good adjustments there at the break, and we were able to get back to second. And then, you know, I felt like I needed to take my shot and try to get the lead, you know, and if it worked out, great, you know, and if Denny got me back, then, you know, so be it. But I just felt like my best chance to win was to try to get control of the race in that moment. And, took that opportunity and was fortunate enough to kind of have the race play out in our favor. And certainly Ryan kept us honest, you know, there at the end too.
Microphone to Destin, please. Okay, Mark.
Mark Garrow, PRN. What's it like to win a race when the crowd is that into it? And when Ryan and Joey were here, I watched the start of the race from the grandstands. So you knew that 60% were the locals, and it seemed the other 40% had to pass some test to be vetted before they came in, because I've never seen a crowd that was literally 100% like hardcore. And just watching those opening laps with them, you know, you get kind of jaded after doing 40 years of this, but even I was getting excited up there. What was it like for you?
Well, I think, you know, coming from you, that is a quite the compliment for the event. You know, we always get asked the questions, but you've been watching a lot of racing too, you know, and I think for you to say that is, you know, in all seriousness, a pretty big compliment for the event. So, you know, it was a great environment before the race. And, you know, I just think that probably the biggest lesson I've taken from the weekend is kind of just reaffirming my belief in less is more. You know, like this crowd, it wasn't 80,000, 90,000, you know, people or a person crowd, but it was a smaller number, a more intimate number, and to your point, they were all very much into the show. And, you know, I think it makes for good TV, it looks good, and they were into it. And I think all those things are positives for us as an industry.
Is it special to win a race like that where
absolutely right. Yeah, no, for absolutely it is, and you know, I alluded to it earlier, but I think the people and the environment make those moments special. And you know, without the environment being what it was, it wouldn't have felt the way it did, and I think all those things contribute into, you know, what will always be a memorable night for myself and our team.
All right, Matt, go ahead.
Matt Weaver, Sports Not. Chase, I think you made two or three K&N starts here. Was it two?
So what now?
Did you make two K&N starts here back in the day?
I think so. Yeah, I think just two.
So I'm curious, like, knowing the history of this place and what it means to short track racing, leaving that phase of your career and thinking, hey, I'm probably never going to have a chance to win a Bowman Gray, then getting the chance to winning the race, is that something you had any sort of, like, romanticism towards?
Hey, look at Chad Canales back there showing some excitement. Thanks, man. Yeah, I haven't really thought about it from that perspective, but absolutely. You know, at that point in time, it was just such a different time in my career because, you know, like, I was coming along, and at that point, I had not raced on any bigger racetracks. And I would say when you ask any driver that's coming along that they're going to be like, you know, when you get a chance to go race at Richmond for the first time, you know, you're like, man, this place is big. And then you go to Iowa and some of those tracks, and then you get to your first mile and a half, and you kind of start getting to some of those larger racetracks. That's a really big deal for a young driver. So, like, at that point in time, it was like, it was just, I wasn't as excited about it, I think, because I was ready to, like, go race on bigger racetracks. And I don't think I appreciated it probably as much as I should have during, you know, those years that I did it. But now, having some more experience and understanding more about the track and the history here and, you know, what the the crowd's like and all those things, I think it makes it more special for sure. And I think some of that comes with just experience and, you know, just having a greater appreciation for places like this that have had a very, you know, deep history in our sport, you know, whether a cup race is here or if it's just a sanctioned event like the modifieds or whatever.
And then, you know, NASCAR is kind of going two parallel directions right now. There's the Wilkesboro and Rockingham and Bowman Gray. There's, you know, Mexico City and Chicago. How important, in addition to the international, you know, big markets, is having these kind of grassroots, old school kind of events?
I think it's paramount, honestly. I just, you hate to see those, I mean, historic might be the wrong word, but just that those cornerstone racetracks of kind of what paved NASCAR to be what it is today shut down or go away. So if us having a race or if it's the Rockingham case where those guys are taking the Xfinity and trucks over there, if that's going to keep that place alive and keep it from shutting down or getting bulldozed, then I think that's a victory for motorsports, like, you know, for whether it's NASCAR or whatever. I just think having these racetracks survive this day and time is a really big deal, and we need to try to make sure we're doing as much as we can to keep those places in business and give us the opportunity to even return there one day, right? Like, what happens if the effort from the state didn't happen and Rockingham goes away and North Wilkesboro goes away and all these places get bulldozed? Well, we can't have special moments to return to anywhere because they're gone. So I just think it's important that we, you know, do what we can to make these places continue to be special here in the region, you know, which is obviously has a big footprint with NASCAR and the history here. And I think we can expand and grow and try new things while doing that all at the same time.
All right, Jay in the back, go ahead.
Jay Spivey, Bo McGray. Chase, you were so dominant early and you're kind of able to kind of regain that after the break. What, did you just kind of have to bide your time with the adjustments you made?
Yes and no. I do think that I probably didn't save enough through the first 100 laps. I really wasn't sure how much to save. And, you know, sometimes when you're the leader in that scenario, you're kind of setting the pace and those guys can judge off you how hard to run. And I think that Denny, you know, and Tyler and a few of them did a better job. Ryan saving their tire to have something left there in those last 20 laps. In that first one, I think our balance could have been a little better too, and I do think we got our balance better for the second half. I think I did a little better job saving, you know, and took my opportunity to try to get control of the race there when I felt like I could. I didn't know if I was going to get another one, honestly. You know, Denny's so good. You know, you give a guy like that an opportunity to lead the race, control his tire wear, kind of do his thing, he's going to become hard to beat, you know, as the race wears on. So I just feel like that, you know, I need to take my opportunity while I could to get back control and try to conserve what I could from the lead. You know, it was going to be my best shot of winning.
All right, we're going to go Barry, and then we'll end with Reed. Go ahead, Barry.
Yes, Barry, Richmond Piedmont Broadcasting Corporation. Chase, was such a great start to the season. You know, we'll have a two-week intermission, as it were, before we hit to the first real point race of the year at Daytona. How does that start, win, stop affect you as a driver now that you won the first event of the season?
Well, it sounds to me like I can enjoy it for another 7 days, you know, an extra 7 days versus a normal race, so that's a good thing. I mean, look, you know, I know it's not a points race, but I don't care. It's these things are, man, they are so hard to win. Like, whether it's a points race, not a points race, you know, before the season or the All-Star, you know, this garage has become so competitive, and these guys are so good at what they do. It's just, it's very rewarding to cross the finish line first in whatever type of event it is when you're racing against those types of drivers and teams. So that to me is, you know, very enjoyable from our perspective. And, you know, we'll take the positives from the weekend for sure. We recognize there's 37 more to go, and there's a lot of racing left. So just hope we can build on this.
You mentioned, too, running here. If you're going to have a racetrack at a football field, this is a place to have it. What's your pick for next week?
That's a good question. Man, I'll be honest, I was really pulling for the Bills. I was really pulling for Josh Allen. I've become a big fan of his. So with that being said, I the Chiefs are always tough, but I'm pulling for the Eagles. I'd like to see them win. I'm getting some head nods in the back. I love it. But yeah, no, I'd like to see the Eagles win. Jalen seems like a stand up leader and individual and somebody that I think everybody can admire, so I wouldn't mind seeing him, you know, get a win. He came close the last time they met.
All right, Reed, take us home.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. What does it say about the quality of racing and the quality of the show that a guy can start 23rd on a provisional and come through the field and challenge you for the win?
Yeah, I mean, I think that says a lot. You know, truthfully, like I said, I think the racetrack was really racy, and there was enough tire wear that it allowed that to, you know, to happen, where a guy could conserve and make smart decisions and kind of claw his way up through there. And Ryan certainly did that. You know, he has become elite at places like Martinsville and here and Phoenix and some of these shorter tracks that, you know, you really have to be mindful of all those things. So. Yeah, I was when I saw him, I was like, man, wow, didn't he start last? And then I, you know, thought about it a little more, and I thought, well, that's not really all that surprising at all. You know, as good as he was at Martinsville in the fall, this isn't super different from that. I mean, it is different, don't get me wrong, but there are a lot of similarities. So, not super surprised to see him, you know, to see him up there by the end.
Chase, congratulations again.
Cool.
Thanks for spending time with us. Safe travels home.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
All right. To all the media, thank you guys for hanging with us here during our post-race availabilities.